saving money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. How are you on this Monday early afternoon? I hope you're having a good start to the week. I hope you had a good weekend. Thank you for coming to join us again this week. I've got a really fun guest for you today. I'm not going to do a spoiler alert yet because we're going to go into some news. So as you know, on mygreenpod.com, which is our information resource for everything sustainable, a story went up today. The title is Understanding Climateflation, i.e. the impact of inflation due to the climate. So this story goes on to say, extreme weather and fossil fuels added, check this, £605 to the average household food shop in 2022 and 2023. So these are not even last year's figures. A new consortium of academics, campaigners and analysts has come together to assess the impact that climate-related extreme weather has had on UK food supplies in recent years and quantify the possible future impacts as the world warms further. So I don't know if you know, but there's this Paris Agreement accord where we are supposed to try and do everything we can as a world, as nation states collaborating together to try and keep the temperature rise from going above 1.5 degrees. Well, officially last year, 2024, we actually, the temperature went to 1.6 degrees over, as an average over the year. So we're already over that, which basically means that the weather patterns, extreme weather and the causes of extreme weather are going to get worse. So this goes on to say, devastating impacts on food production, both in the UK and globally, can be linked to climate change, that which we know. Farmers here had to contend with the highest ever UK temperatures in 2022, alongside drought conditions that were followed by the wettest 18 months of record. That was 2022. Obviously, it was hotter in 2023, and it was definitely hotter in 2024. So these things are going to get worse. Together, these events hit the harvest of vital crops such as potatoes, wheat, barley, and everyday vegetables like cauliflower and broccoli, which is pretty much the UK staple diet. Globally, crops such as cacao, olives, and sugar have all seen record-breaking prices, partly due to the impacts of extreme weather. And at the same time, food price inflation has hit British citizens hard, with millions experiencing food insecurity and struggling to afford nutritious food to protect their long-term health. This is a quote from Pete Smith, who's the principal investigator on the project. He's a professor of soils and global change at the University of Aberdeen. He says, we've seen food shortages caused by climate change driven extreme weather events. These food shortages have driven spikes in food prices around the world. This climate change induced food price inflation has been termed climateflation. This project examines the links between food prices and climate change and will propose actions to deal with the climate action, sorry, climateflation now and in the future. So you can go on to read the rest of that article at mygreenpod.com. There is another article I want to flag because it actually ties in a little bit, not massively, but a little bit to today's guest. It's actually in the education space, which our guest is actually in. This was yesterday's post on mygreenpod.com. It says solving the school run, which of course, if you've got children, we all want to find a way, a better way of doing that. But check this. It says private schools driving a 47% increase in toxic air pollution and extensive bus delays. Goes on to say private schools are driving a near 50% increase in pollution and traffic despite serving a minority of pupils, according to new data produced by parent campaigners Solve the School Run. Essentially, this article goes on. It's saying that, perhaps private schools, for whatever reason, more parents are driving. Less are walking, less are riding bikes, there's more demand for buses, there's more taxes, etc., etc. So it's essentially saying that a very small percentage of private school students and their parents and their families and all of the facilities around it are causing more toxicity than non-private schools, which is really, really interesting. So if you are wanting to know a little bit more about that article and ways that you can perhaps change the levels of emissions in the school one, which of course is daily twice for most people, then go to that mygreenpod.com, have a look at those two articles. There's loads of other articles. There's an article that goes up every single day. So if you care about sustainability, you care about your impact when it comes to living sustainably, go and check out the news at mygreenpod.com. Loads of recommendations, loads of stuff that you can get there. You just go into the search bar, tap in an inquiry, and you'll get lots of information about any subject. And it's all written by my lovely wife, Katie Hill, as the editor in chief. So here we are. We are at the time where we are going to introduce today's guest. Now, today's guest is the CEO and founder of Beluga. It's a company, a global social learning platform making education impactful, equitable by connecting students to interactive, real-world content that aligns with both academic subjects and personal interests. So it's studying for people that can study from home, which is pretty cool. He is also the founder of the Thinkering Collective. I need to hear about this because this is relatively new, a non-profit organization transforming education by empowering students through mentorship, leadership, and innovative learning experiences. With over 19 years of experience in education, social impact, and innovation, Evan, who is our guest today, has developed programs across all 50 continents. He served at, sorry, all 50 US states, my apologies. Well, don't know where I'm going with continents, and consulted with organizations on six continents. That's what I meant to say. He served as a 2023 XP Prize Global Visioneering Brain Trust member and was recognized as one of the meaningful business 100 in 2019, and his contributions to addressing global challenges in education, health, and sustainability. Additionally, he's an entrepreneur in residence at Launch NY, supporting startups in their growth and development. Evan Schwartz, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. Thank you for coming to join us from NYC, New York.
Jarvis, great to be here. Always great to hear your voice and appreciate the intro.
Not at all. Is there anything on that intro that you listen and you think, oh, actually, I didn't say this, or I could have said that? Anything that's missing for you?
Honestly, that intro is a mouthful. So I don't think, if anything, we probably cut that intro down a little bit. But no, overall, I mean, you summed it up perfectly on that one. And I'm excited to share, some updates, especially around our new initiative with Thinkering.
Yeah, great. I'm dying to. I'm really looking forward to it. Just so everybody that's listening knows, Evan and I, we do have a history. We've done some work together. I think in some parts of the educational platform that Evan runs, we've had some MyGreenPod content on there, which has been helping students learn more about sustainability. So let's just do an overarching kind of sweeping, broad introduction to Beluga, Evan. Tell us what Beluga is and why. why it exists.
Yeah, ultimately, I'll give you Beluga and I'll give you the backstory as well. So the backstory, I don't know, I'll give you first because I think it showcases how this was born and where we're going with it ultimately. But my background, like you mentioned, social impact guy from New York, and ultimately was really consulting with a lot of different organizations around the world about 10, 12 years ago at this point, and realized the traditional method that we're using in the classroom is the same stuff that all of us used 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago at this point. What are we doing? Right? Our kids are checked out and our teachers are checked out. This was pre-pandemic. I think it's even worse now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But ultimately looked at it and said, we need to innovate. And we not just need to innovate around core subject area of tell me what this means in science class or music or art or history, but we need to get social with it. Right? Our kids are living as digital natives and internet natives now. And we need to play into this world. And I always use the example of if a teacher or headmaster walks into a classroom and says, guys, Monday morning, turn to page 56. You lost them. That classroom is gone at that point, right? They
Yeah.
completely checked out because it's just not their world. So I was looking around and just kind of pondering these thoughts in my head. And at the time, having a lot of conversations, this is back, and like I said, about 10, 11 years ago at this point, but having conversations with a lot of friends overseas and realizing, their interest in my life and country, ultimately, the US, isn't because they love the politics or what's going on in the headlines. And most people don't, right? It's what's taking place in their friend's life. That's it. So took a step back and said, hey, one, how do we innovate on education in a nutshell? But then two, how do we create this ecosystem where students around the world, regardless of age, race, religion, ideology, demographic, are actually able to learn with and from one another? So Beluga was born out of this idea of let's not just innovate on education, but let's build bridges instead of barriers. And if we're able to do that and plant this seed in the next generation, oh man, we could have a much better future for everyone than we're seeing today. So ultimately, we built a team and Beluga came together as this initiative where first we want to innovate on content and curriculum. And instead of the traditional PowerPoint textbook PDFs, what we do is we utilize rich video content. So think of us as a Netflix or Disney or Hulu, depending on what part of the world you're in. So we produce a whole lot of content. We're fortunate to work with over 500 global organizations, groups like the UN, UNICEF, movie studios, documentaries, great climate and sustainability organizations like My Green Pod, and really work with the front line to educate kids in a classroom. So within all this video content, we tailor it to curriculum, national, local, subject area, grade levels, and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals to showcase how learning can transform not only a classroom experience, but how does it transform into the community as well. And then we added this whole social layer, similar to what kids are experiencing on things like TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram, but we did in a safe, secure location where they're able to create in different modalities, share those creations, not as just homework, but with their peers worldwide. We have experts and organizations that are patching into Beluga to give kids a really, really unique learning experience. So ultimately, our goal in this grand scheme of things, almost 10 years later, which seems insane to me, but we really have brought content together in kind of this unique, I'll use quote unquote, real world perspective, sharing stories from real communities, solving real problems, but giving kids the ability to solve those challenges, not only locally, but globally as well.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's so thrilling to hear it again. I know about it, but just to hear you say, I mean, 10 years, I remember what it was like our first 10 years at My Green Pod. You feel like you're just kind of getting somewhere, don't you, after you've had 10 years under your belt. It's like, yeah, finally, I don't feel like a startup anymore.
I think I always feel like a startup.
Yeah.
I thrive in those locations of the fun part is the journey. It's not the destination.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So tell me about what I mean, how many, young people are you reaching across these six continents and, these 50 states in America? I mean, what's your reach?
I mean, today Beluga reaches learners in about 120 countries worldwide.
Wow.
So I'll tell you, depending on the time of the year, our traffic and engagement is very different, right? We see during the summer months, especially in North America and the UK, everyone checks out completely. But that's
Good, it's holiday time.
holiday time, exactly. But that's when the homeschool market and pods and enrichment families are really looking for more engagement. So I would say, we're reaching a really large audience. I would say that North America is still our bread and butter, just based on, hey, we're local here. We
Yeah.
work throughout all 50 states in the US, throughout every province in Canada. But really, I'll tell you the interesting thing about our community, it's all been organic. So we started, I mean, back in 2015, ultimately, when we first started this, I don't come from a teacher background at all. I was raised in a household. My mom was an educator, so I always had that special place in my heart for teachers. But really, we needed to learn the business and learn what was really challenging and how do we solve those challenges? And that's even going back today to supporting young entrepreneurs. I think the lost art is listening, right? Really just understand what people are going through. But what we did, and these are early days of, Beluga, I tried to message every teacher under the sun that I could see publicly on Twitter or on Facebook when it was thriving still, in that community. And just anyone give me the time of day. Just tell me what's taking place. I really, really think I could impact education. I knew nothing compared to what I know now, and I still feel like I know nothing. Ultimately, just hearing from people, and our entire mentality at Beluga has always been education is an extremely viral audience. Right? One teacher surrounded by 20, 30, maybe 100 other teachers physically every single day. But then you tap into their digital community and it's thousands. So if we're able to showcase just one great experience to a teacher, let them be the megaphone to support it. So the early days of Beluga, I mean, we started this, I would say, really for grades 5 to grades 10. Within about 3 weeks, we realized that plan was out the window because we had a 6-year-old classroom and a 20-year-old classroom on the platform. So thank God it happened early because we built our platform and content around it, but it just showcased the need of something different in education. And I think today people are craving that even more ultimately.
Brilliant. So are schools using your platform then? Do they kind of tap into it for that?
Schools are our main consumer, I would say.
Yeah, got it. Got it. I for some reason I had a I'd imagined that it was individuals that wanted to further their learning experience, but now it's the schools that are tapping into your resources. Wow. I mean, I loved what you said about the in the UK we kind of call it the Victorian education system that's still undermine still underwriting the education system per se. Now we've got AI, which is like, there's going to be so many things that kids of today won't even need to bother learning because it's kind of there. So where are you with that? How do you feel about this kind of really fast tech development that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, I absolutely love AI. I use it every single day. I think AI, like most things in education, especially within the UK and North American education area, it got hyped up really fast and it wasn't innovative to the point of, hey, this could change education. Teachers, and still today, teachers use it as a lesson plan creation tool ultimately, where I'm able to punch 5 facts into AI, it spits me out. Here's a great lesson, and teachers save 45 minutes, which is one of the most needed things possible for educators today. Grab back time, right? They are drowning, and I feel for them, to be honest. But it's not gotten to that point yet of, hey, this is a real companion that could innovate and personalize learning. I think that's the key factor here of how do you personalize education? I mean, I've seen examples from Germany had a professor the other day, an AI, literally physical robot, teach a university class. And the students were fascinated. They didn't miss a beat. But then we also have states in the US where entire schools are being taught by AI. I think the magic part right now where we need to get to, and I do think we will get there, is how does the teacher act as a guide of inspiration for their students? Not necessarily the sage on the stage of, I need to know every single answer and question and lead my kids for 45 minutes. How do we give them some flexibility, which is very hard for a teacher to let go of the reins, but how do we give our kids this motivation and human factor, but then have them work with individual AI agents and systems to source different information and come back together from this curiosity-based learning perspective to share ideas based on AI, which could personalize it for them in 2 seconds. So I think we're getting there. I love it. I think it was, used very quickly in education. I hope people don't pull back from it because I am seeing that already of, hey, this doesn't fit our system and we're going back to textbooks and PowerPoints. But I do think, I mean, it just can't be ignored today, ultimately.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I think it's just a really kind of I'm really interested in particularly people that are working in tech, how they feel about it. So thank you for that response. I think this is a good moment to cut to a commercial break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and you can tell me about the Thinkering Collective. So don't go away. We'll go to a break. We'll be back with Evan just to find out a lot more about his journey and what's going on. See you shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio, my show Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Evan Schwartz, who's the founder of Beluga, the educational learning platform. If you want to find out about Beluga, just to let you know, and you're interested, if you're a teacher or you're in the network or you've got, you've got kids that really have a thirst for learning, you can go to Beluga, BELUGA.org to find out more. But we're going to hear more from Evan. Evan, let's just tell me a little bit about Thinkering Collective. What's that? Because that I don't think that had happened last time we spoke.
Yeah, Jarvis, Thinkering is brand new. This is, I would say, that internal fork in the road moment of your career, that I feel that everyone has. That's where Thinkering is born out of. So Thinkering, really, the idea started about a year ago and internally had that gut check moment of, are we making the biggest impact possible in the education system? And personally, business is going well, thank God. We're going about the motions, but are we really hitting our true North Star? And the answer was no. Right, people are still doing the exact same things they were doing when we first started Beluga. Sure, we've made some updates and really have seen specific communities thrive with it, but we feel we could really create this cosmic shift. So Thinkering was born of, how do we bring people together that are doing similar work but have a much louder voice and do it in a way that we see the challenges taking place within the industry every day? How do we prove that concept and what that concept is? And I think this has just been kind of a calling card throughout my career that I'm searching for the answer on, is how do you measure creativity and curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
And why this was born was, if we looked at creativity and curiosity as the utmost pinnacle of an education system, as opposed to what did you get on a test or what was your grade, this entire system could flip on its head. So Thinkering was born and said, hey, let's start this initiative. I started speaking with other colleagues in the industry, people that have been in education for a long time that we know and love and respect. And everyone had the same sentiment of, yeah, things are good. It's like we're moving along, but we're really not hitting the impact. So we knew we were onto something with this. Ultimately, where Thinkering is we built this framework where we are on a mission to really set out, what does humanizing learning mean to people? And that humanizing learning factor comes down to creativity and curiosity. So we built this ecosystem. And Thinkering really just launched about 6 to 7 weeks ago at this point. Today, we have about 50 global organizations that are part of Thinkering. So Beluga is really just the partner at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Groups like universities, education companies, AI companies, I know we referenced previously, mental health organizations, climate organizations. So My Green Pod would be a perfect fit on this. I'll talk to you after on it. But really what we did is we created this initial think tank and said, hey, let's just share ideas and resources and let's look how we could work together as opposed to working in our lane. So that has been phenomenal because it's given community and tribe to a lot of organizations that needed that uplift ultimately,
mm-hmm.
but just found their voice. So there's conversations and opportunities taking place behind the scenes every day. We then said, well, we can't just hold this information internal. We need to get out to the next wave. So we have a lot of different programs taking place, everything from teacher fellowships to a huge media network that we just kicked off. Shout out to Jim McGuire, who's leading that initiative for us. A few different podcasts, a few different shows. But really what we aim to do is we want to be this think tank that aggregates all this information around curiosity and creativity in this term of, what does it mean to really humanize education? And how do we put it out into the world with innovative programs in a classroom? How do we put it out where people can consume information in a very digestible format like this conversation, as mm-hmm. opposed to a white paper or a case study? So Thinkering, we have a really big swing taking place right now. But I think, it's needed. We need to figure out how do we look at those soft skills, and I hate to call them that because I think it's real world skills, essential skills ultimately, like communication and empathy. How do we push that forward as opposed to just memorization of a test? And especially in the day of AI, which tests are going to go out the window. There's no reason to memorize anymore. I have the smartest computer in history next to me. How do we have these people skills first, where we're taking care of community and showcasing, if in your world, sustainability, right? Ultimately, within our communities as well. So Thinkering has been really fun. I think it's kind of this lifelong mission that I never really knew until a few months ago. But we're just getting started on it and really excited about what it could bring as well.
Yeah, lovely. I love that because I mean, clearly there's a lot of I guess kind of shifts and changes in young people's consciousness, in their personality, in the way they interact with the world, in their social, interactions, etc. So I love that because education is the key to everything, right? The more we can, get, and it's not necessarily educating ourselves in the old systems or the ways that we've been doing up to now. It's just constant learning. So no, I really love that. I want to get into this a little bit more because I want to hear about some of the outstanding moments that you've had in your career where you've gone, whoa, that is amazing to see that coming together, or to see what that student has done, or what that school has done. Or so we'll come to that in a minute. But before we do that, let's just get the juices flowing. I always ask my guests to bring me a couple of songs that are soundtracks to their work or to their life, and you've come with some cracking songs. We're going to play your first record. Tell us what song we're going to play, who it's by, and then after we've heard it, you can tell me why you chose it.
Yeah, so I mean, I am a 90s rock American, deep as possible, ultimately, right? I love everything about it. You can ask my wife, it's always blasting in my car and at the office, etc. So the first one is Foo Fighters, Learn to Fly. Foo Fighters, I think, aside from the next artist that I'll tell you, are definitely my favorite band of all time. I've seen them multiple times, and just Dave Grohl to me is just a legend, right? Like,
Yeah.
he has cool flair, he still rocks out, and really rocks out if you've seen him lately. Like, this guy is just performing at the nth degree. But Learn to Fly is an interesting one that has always kind of meant something deep to me, where, just searching for motivation, ultimately,
Yeah.
searching for inspiration. And, some of the lyrics from the song, but throughout my career and even my life, always feeling like, hey, we could always do more, right? Like, what else can we do here? And I think that has definitely been my social impact career, where I started out my career at a very young age. Entrepreneurship, I think a few weeks out of university ultimately, but always searching for, we get one swing at this, right? And one swing at this, whatever this is that we're in right now, how do we make an impact? And not necessarily this global impact, how do we make an impact around the people around us? And
Yeah.
Foo Fighters and a lot of their anthems have always kind of resonated with me, and Learned to Fly on that journey of, where's the motivation, where's the inspiration, and just this ballad of, keep going, keep pushing, and there is no failure ultimately, right? Keep being your best.
Beautiful. This is Learn to Fly by the Foo Fighters. Yeah, welcome back. Ah, what a great record, Evan. Absolutely love it. Well, you told us a little bit about why you chose it, but how does it make you feel hearing that song? Like what does it do for you?
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the pond, so this is just kicking off my day right now, and we're ready to rock ultimately, right? Like, hey, let's go. It's Monday. We got a lot of things to do.
Great. Good start to the week. Motivational Monday. Okay, cool. Let's get into some of the beautiful, uplifting stories that you've experienced, whatever that might be. What comes to mind when I say to you, what's really motivated you in the work that you're doing that you've seen happen?
Yeah, and I'll give you a great example, which I share with everyone ultimately. But even before that, I think the most, impactful, and I would say, hey, we're on the right track here, is hearing from students. And it's always that opportunity of student voice, right? Where you see a community where they're probably going about it in a very traditional format, and the students are thriving. Right, ultimately, and it's not a beluga magic, right? We're a technology company at the end of the day, but it's that entire ecosystem of empowering students and giving them the runway to actually be creators and impactors. And we've seen that in a lot of different communities. I mean, everything from, how do students impact climate? And by the way, I loved what you said to start this climate Inflation, I think, was
Yeah,
the term.
climateflation,
Inflation, which I need to learn more about, like all these different things that the next generation are really, really focused on. The most beautiful thing is seeing them take action on it, where they're taking it from the classroom or maybe something not necessarily mentioned in the classroom that they're picking up after the bell rings and they're actually impacting their community. And I'll give you a great example where, right, I would say middle of the pandemic, when things were really picking up heavily, we saw one student, he was a secondary student at the time, and came in, leveraged Beluga, connected with a lot of different individuals. And I'm pretty sure you were a part of this one as well, where he looked at it and said, "Hey, I am a, 2 years left in my secondary career. I want to really focus on business and real estate. And I'm not necessarily getting all that information from my classroom. I see all this information on Beluga. Can I use it?" And of course, 16-year-old kid, this is my dream to hear from someone like you. What can we do to help you ultimately? And all we did was set up a system for him to say, "Hey, we think a learning experience can be leveraged by exploring content, connecting with experts, and in creating impact." In so many words, "Hey, kid, what are you going to do with this stuff?" And we saw this one individual thrive. I mean, leveraging a ton of resources on Beluga all around his interest areas, connecting with amazing individuals around entrepreneurship, business, sustainability, like yourself. And then the outcome of it was, "Hey, this kid could create a project or maybe just put it on his transcript." What he ended up doing was creating a project locally around his own community, which is facing a lot of different socioeconomic issues and diversity, especially during a pandemic, which led to a lot of evictions and rent hikes. Anyway, his mission was to educate his community on real estate business and their tenant rights. And he ended up creating this tenant bill of rights that distributed thousands of resources throughout his own community to educate people. I mean, he connected with pro bono law firms, universities, PR, everyone under the sun you could imagine. But to me, not only the impact that he made, it, the everlasting impact in his community, but this kid showcased exactly what education can and should be, right? Which is following those passions, finding your community. And what I have found over my career, especially working on projects like that globally, is that adults want to help. Everyone's so busy, we know this, but all of us have such a wealth of knowledge just based on our own life experiences. Why are we not sharing that as opposed to just saying, like, "Hey, let's pause for a minute on all this curriculum that we think is valuable because the uppers told us we need to mark on tests, but how do we tap into community knowledge of all different shapes, sizes, and colors, and then give that individual the pathway and the resources, nurturing them ultimately to go into the world and create something amazing?" And I think that's where the beauty comes, and definitely where we're going with Beluga, definitely where we're going with Thinkering as well. But I think that's where education needs to be ultimately, is let's empower individuals to create action. They don't have to be, quote unquote, an adult or graduated from university or graduated from secondary to create. Like, we have this thought in our society that that's what, professionalism is. And I love seeing the kids that are pulling in massive amounts of revenue on YouTube, on Instagram, just sharing their passions, right? Like, it's an amazing time for them.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And you're absolutely right. The whole kind of organizational structure of working in the world is just massively, massively changed already. And God knows what it's going to be like in the next, 4 or 5 years. So brilliant. Let's go to the next commercial break, because I feel like the next segment of the conversation, I want to hear about, how you imagine things developing, what our listeners can learn from your teachings, because this will be the first time that most people are hearing about this Beluga, conceptual way of learning. So let's open it out a bit more and see how engaged we can get the UK with you as well, through our listeners. But we'll cut to a commercial break. We'll come back shortly. Evan, thank you. We'll see you in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith. I'm on Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Evan Schwartz from Beluga and Thinkering. We're talking about Well, education really across the board, but across the board, should I say, but actually having a much broader conversation. Evan, as I get older, I'm in my mid-50s now, and I look back at the education system and I think, wow, it was pretty much set up to get me to become a well-behaved, working for somebody else type individual. And thankfully I broke that mold and became an entrepreneur at a very, very, very young age. But most people, depending on personality types, etc., are pretty much trained to be skilled at being in service that actually makes money for the bigger, for the top of the food chain, right? That's pretty much the system, isn't it? And it keeps us paying taxes. It keeps us, yet your buzzwords are creativity and curiosity, which I just love. I mean, being curious about as much as possible is the best thing ever, because if you already know something, then you already know it, don't you? So it's like, how do you expand beyond what you already know? So I love the curiosity and the creativity. Unfortunately, being a musical artist and knowing, having loads of creative friends, it's very difficult to become self-economically sufficient just by being a creative. So tell me a little bit about your newfound thinkering vision roadmap. What are you playing with? What concoctions are you stirring up for this creation right now?
Yeah, Jarvis, I'll tell you one of the most interesting things, and I heard this term last week and I loved it, was schools need a creativity therapist. And it was like, all right, let's think on this.
Love that. Love that.
It's a really big statement. And it's not just schools, right? It's corporations, it's everything. And similar to you, I found entrepreneurship very early in my life, and I think it was one of the best gifts that I've ever received in understanding, like, hey, we're gonna be right here. Right? Like we have the ability and the runway and to create and find those passions. But with Thinkering, it's really focused on how do we take all this information that is being created behind the scenes and make it public and make it accessible to everyone. So, like, well, one of our first programs, which we're launching in April of this year, actually, is a fellowship. And a fellowship, not just to push educators through professional development and training, but showcase how do we support them in a social format with other experts and individuals and educators to create something impactful locally. And that impact might be 20 kids, right? Their impact might be 200 kids. It might be their entire community. Impact should not have a measure ultimately of how many people are we impacting. It's what is the process that we can replicate constantly ultimately, right? Because if I'm going back to my classroom and saying, I'm a teacher, I just received this amazing program, I'm impacting 20 kids today. Well, what's the fallout of that that those 20 kids are then going to do? And I think that's where we need to start thinking about what's that secondary measure of impact, creativity, curiosity, because the teacher side is, you mentioned it earlier, schools are the center of our communities. I think we kind of lost that over the last decade or so of school's bad, right? And everyone's turning their back on it. But schools were created to be the foundation. And if we're able to showcase that foundation and take a minute to breathe for a second, right? On all different channels, what can we do to really educate our kids? And I think that's what school should be set up for. Listen, the current system was made 200 years ago, ultimately, right? We're still using that system to produce factory workers. I mean, school's not failing. We hear this term all the time, education's failing. Education isn't failing. It's doing exactly what it was made to do. Our society has failed. We haven't innovated, and education is one of the only areas that we have not innovated in. Right? You think of every other business. If none of us collaborated, we would fail in every job possible. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a radio host, right? We would fail. Schools, you still have kids studying on their own and hiding their tests, right? Because we can't focus on, hey, the one kid needs to memorize everything. So I think just to bring it back in and rein in a little bit on, what do we have going on with Thinkering is we want to be this platform that disseminates knowledge, but does so probably against the grain and probably is going to ruffle a few feathers of, guys, there's better ways to do this. And not only better ways to do this, but you have a community here, which is why we've really set an initiative to say, This is open to everyone. This is not a Beluga initiative. This is not an Evan initiative. We want this to be a collective where everyone is welcomed in. We're able to share all this knowledge. We have a lot of systems behind place that are able to capture knowledge as well and share it in a very personalized format, aka leveraging AI a little bit too. But I think, it's disseminating information at the end of the day, and that's our big goal.
Nice. And you talked about and it is a big goal. I mean, let's not pull the rug under anyone. This is a big vision. And you talked about, and I love it, and it's commendable, by the way. We've got kids, I know you've got young children, I've got young children. It's really, really important for us to be able to be in service to them so we can create, the best future, the best opportunity for future for them. But you talked about your North Star. What does that look like? If you reached your North Star, what does it look like? What does the world look like?
Great question. How much time do we have on this one?
Not long. We're coming to the end of the show, but
I'll tell you, the North Star is being able to look back and say, hey, we made an impact when we're here. And it doesn't matter, like financially, it doesn't matter, right? Even the number wise of who we impacted and how we impacted them. But impact is, hey, I was on this planet for X amount of time and I gave something to it. And for me, I think that the journey that I'm on and what the world that I found myself in is education. So I don't think the impact is on myself, to be honest. I think education is a selfless industry, right? I think the next wave and how I view a North Star is I'm actually not touching that North Star. I'm getting down on my knees and the next generation's jumping on the shoulders and grabbing the North Star. And that North Star hopefully is a much more connected system, a much more empathetic system, and a much more knowledgeable system. I mean, I remember myself even going into university, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I think what I wanted to do was what, the machine told me I wanted to do, which was, hey, live in New York, become a successful business and or a businessman, right, ultimately, and run your life that way. And I realized pretty quickly why my journey in entrepreneurship shifted very quickly from corporate America, which I lasted, I think, a whopping 2 weeks. I might have set a record, to entrepreneurship. Is it didn't matter about all those things that I was taught previously. It was about finding myself and understanding, what is that impact that I can make? And I think that's the North Star, is empowering the next generation to realize, hey, they can create and they can make an impact and they can be curious. And if we're able to nurture and empower them, then man, instead of just putting them into the system and pushing out numbers, this place could be incredible.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. Let's move to your second track because we are running out of time. This show goes so quickly. I can't believe it's like an hour just goes like that. But let's get your second track in. And then, Evan, after the song's played, I want you to just share with our audience anything that could be useful for anybody out there that's listening that wants to tap into the Beluga program or the Thinkwing program. We can let them know how they can get hold of you. But what you might be looking for from a UK audience, and how we can help and support you with this vision. So what's your next song?
So my next song is probably my favorite artist of all time, Tom Petty. He has a special place in my heart throughout my entire life, ultimately. But the next one that we'll kick off Monday with is Running Down a Dream. And
Running Down a Dream by Tom Petty.
it culminates this entire conversation, right? Of being inspired, finding that inspiration, and then let's go get this thing.
Nice. Let's hear it. Brilliant. Thank you. Ah, what a great track. Love it. Love it. Love it. Evan, thanks for choosing that. I know you touched on it, but what does that track, signify in your life?
These days, it signifies a little bit more because my son loves listening to it. So it's a little bit different these days than what it was originally played out to be. But it's once you found that passion, it's time to go get it. Like it's enough talking. And I think, again, in our society, ideas are every day, right? People are putting out ideas. The execution is the hardest part. So I think that's really what it comes down to is, hey, let's go get this thing. You're ready, right? You can do this ultimately.
Yeah, lovely, beautiful. So how can people run down their dreams with Beluga? Like how can teachers, communities, Any listening students, any parents out there that think this is going to really help my family? Just tell us a bit more about it and how they can engage with you and what the process is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the time on it. So, I mean, Beluga is a 100% free platform. Anyone could register for it. We have a lot of people throughout the UK that are active on Beluga as well. But really, it starts with what am I interested in? Right. So teachers are able to use it as an everyday lesson plan replacement or supplement. Families are able to leverage it as a safe, secure, vetted video platform for their kids, which I know is parent issue number one these days
Important, yeah.
on the internet for sure. But really, I'll tell you, not only in Beluga, but I think where just education is going and really where we're planting our flag is it's the journey, not the destination. I know I mentioned that a few times, but within Beluga, what we're able to do is give kids ownership of their learning. So everything within Beluga that a child participates in goes into their profile. That profile is completely private to that individual child, but year over year, they're able to build upon it. So what we've seen is, hey, grade two student might come in and say, hey, I love elephants. And they're working on some great elephant content from our partners, in Tanzania protecting wildlife. But by the end of it, by grade 11, that student is really focused on conservation and saying, I know everything about elephants and rhinos and et cetera. But what I've done throughout my Beluga journey is understand this full circle experience on how do I actually make an impact following my education. And we have a lot of things in Beluga like projects and portfolios that are able to tie into this mix. But I think really where Beluga shines is what's taking place in the world. I always say Beluga is not going to teach your kids what one plus one is. There's a lot other platforms that do a thousand times better job than we do. Where we really want to be focused on and impactful is we want to show you how one plus one could change the world. And I think that's what we've seen from Beluga, from all of our great partners globally, is hey, there's a really big world out there. How do we give kids, in the palm of their hand, a safe, secure, vetted environment to explore that world, find their passions, and then go do something with it as well?
Absolutely beautiful. So go and check out beluga.org. You can find out more about it if you feel inspired. Evan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute treat. I'd love to have you on again to talk about how Thinkering is progressing. Let you and I chat because I've got some ideas. Let's share some ideas offline. But thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I just really appreciate your knowledge, wisdom, and the impact that you're having on the world. Thanks for doing what you do.
Appreciate it, Jarvis. Always great seeing you.
Yeah, likewise. So this is we're going to play out. It's the end of the show. As always, we're going to play out with the song Save the World by yours truly. This song was created in partnership with Greta Thunberg, featuring Rita Mora, to raise money for the most affected people and areas, the young people, as the Fridays for Futures movement. This is a song, put it on your playlists, play it as often as possible, and let's help raise 100% of those profits that go to the children around the world. So here we are. I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us. Have a super week.